Matthew chapter 6, let's read from verse 25. Let's read this. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you. Lord, are already so blessed, God, coming into your house. And so now we ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your scriptures, God, that you bring something alive in our hearts, God, through your word, Lord. God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today, Lord. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart, Lord. God, we love you in this place, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. The title of my message today is called The Spirit of Generosity. We're starting a new series. It's going to take us throughout this month of September. And we're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about this being one of our values as a church, going back to the whole theme this year of reboot. And so when we talk about generosity, there's a few things that I need to say right off the top just so you understand where we're going through the rest of this time here. Number one, God does not need your money. Okay? Turn to your neighbor, and this is really important, okay? And so you need to say it with conviction. You need to say it with fierceness in your eyes. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, God does not need your money. See, the simple reality, friends, if God needed your money, I'm sorry, but he is an impotent God. Who are we? And some of you can say, well, maybe he'll take Bill Gates' money or Warren Buffett's money or whoever else is the richest. No, he doesn't need their money either, right? God is not contingent. His kingdom is not just contingent on the giving of his people. God is so much bigger, so much greater. He's so much grander than all these things. But the reality of Scripture is this. God asks us to give, though. So think about this in context. God does not need your money. If God needs your money, he's an impotent God. But at the same time, scripturally, God asks us to give. Then you have to start thinking, well, if God doesn't need my money and he asks us to give, maybe the giving is not really about him. Maybe the giving is about me. Maybe in the giving, God does something to my life. Maybe that's why God is asking me about this whole thing. So let me weave through this message with my story here. I grew up. Some of you guys know I'm Korean. I'm Korean American, and so I was born in Jeju-do. Some of you guys may know that's the they call it the Hawaii of Korea. I've been to Hawaii. I don't think so, right? And now it's called the Hawaii of Korea. Back then it was like poor country bumpkin. And so, you know, you have a country bumpkin pastor. There's a Korean phrase that my dad calls me all the time, and it's a Korean phrase called chonnom, which basically means country bumpkin, right? And so that was kind of my name growing up, and that's basically who I am. I'm a poor, my dad was a tree farmer. It was in the lumber business. And so that's basically how I grew up. we moved to the United States. My dad, that was actually my uncle, my aunt married an American GI, an officer, and he took 40-plus of our family to Korea, I mean, to the United States. I mean, that's pretty amazing. This guy had some clout. And we didn't fly on some military plane, although we rode, like, actual planes, right? And so we got there, and my dad came. We moved to Chicago. My dad moved to the United States with 20 U.S. dollars in his pocket. It's like one of those stories that you hear all the time, you know, and a few kids. And through growing up and through my dad working hard, my dad never missed a day of work in his life. He's a workhorse. I mean, just even to this day, my dad is now 74. My dad still exercises every day. He reads the Bible, prays, you know, like a good Korean former missionary. You know, he does push-ups, sit-ups, he runs. You know, even to this day, he still does this. And so that's kind of how we grew up. And so we were really, really poor. In fact, the better way is saying we were poor. Have you ever poor? Right, too poor to afford the OR. And so this is how we grew up. And then my dad, because he started working really hard, he started saving money and all these things. He started investing in certain things, and it started doing well. We ended up moving to California, and so we went from being really poor to actually becoming very, very wealthy. And I always tell people, it was always in the perfect time, is when I was in high school. You know, it's all about status and what car you drove. And so, fortunately, we were rich during those important years of my adolescence, so it kind of worked out well. And then my dad, we lost everything again. And then we got, and then lost. And it was kind of like this up and down cycle. And growing up in that kind of household, I learned a couple really important lessons. One, I learned that money is important. I did. I learned money was important. But I also learned on the flip side that money doesn't buy you happiness. I learned that money was, the world evolves around money. There's a truth to that, but at the other same time, though, money cannot buy you happiness. And what ended up happening is my parents, after another cycle of, you know, up and downs, my mom got a call to ministry, and she actually, during this time, she ended up enrolling at Golden Gate Seminary, which is Southern Baptist Seminary, got her theology degree, got a call from the Lord to go to Uzbekistan, which was this brand new country that just opened up, and they spent 17 years there ministering, planted about 3 churches while they were there. And so this is the time they had nothing. But you know what? They were the happiest by far. I mean, when my dad had a very large furniture manufacturing business, and I was away in school. I was actually in Northern California in uni, and when the business was going down, I came home that summer, and my dad aged 10 years. I mean, he was this, always to me as this really strong, strapping Korean man. And all of a sudden, in that year I was away in school, his health deteriorated. He still went to work every day, but his strength was gone. I used to deliver furniture with my dad every summer. That was my summer job. And these huge pieces of furniture that we would deliver together, my dad could no longer pick up. And I realized, wow, life is really, you know, putting a drag in his life. And I could see his strength sap. And then I see him go to the mission field and just life come back to him. The joy of the Lord and all these things. And I realize money's important, but money does not buy you happiness. Something shifted in my life. I became a Christian. And I'll actually share this. This happened just before I came to Christ. I ended up enrolling because my parents' bankruptcy and all these things. I moved back from Northern California, moved back to Southern California. I started a business. Some guys know the story. I maxed out all my credit cards, basically took all the money, bought some equipment, got a storefront, and I started selling consumer electronics and basically was supporting the family. I dropped out of school, basically. I decided I need to go back to school, so I enrolled in a Christian school very close to my house in Irvine at the time. It was in Costa Mesa. Now it's called Vanguard University. It's part of the Assemblies of God. And so I ended up enrolling in school, and I decided I was going to major in business. I always had a real heart for my family. There's some of you guys like this in this room that you really feel the responsibility of your parents and all that. That's me. I always felt that, even when I was a little kid. And so I was going to major in business. I was going to, you know, be a millionaire. I was going to take care of my family. They don't have to worry anymore. And that was the plan of my life. And one of the ways that I was going to pay for my school, because we had no money, is I needed to play sports. So, you know, I tried out for the basketball team, made our basketball team, and you know, got some scholarships and kind of, you know, working on in that route. And basically what was happening, I joined the business club at the university. And so I was a business major. It sounds kind of funny, right? Business major at a Christian school, but it works. And so I ended up joining this business club. And my whole thing was I wanted to make connections, because that's what you do. I want to make connections so I could use them later so I could be rich. That was the whole point of all these things. So I joined this business club. My first meeting, my professor, Rich Schultz, I remember it so vividly. We sit in the class, and he gives an introduction to the business club that we have at school. And then the first lesson he talks about stewardship. And he tells, and these guys are all Christians, you know, supposedly Christians, in this club. And the first thing he says is the issue of your life, friends, because we know that you're going to go on, you're going to become successful, you're going to do all these things, but the issue is stewardship. Stewardship. He says that's a key issue of your life. And then he says, and then the key question of your life, when we talk about stewardship, he said this, is it's not how much money that you're going to give. Actually, it's how much money that you're going to keep. And that just changed my whole, I was sitting there going, what is this guy talking about? But it made such an impact on me, I recognized that the issue of my life from this day forward, when it comes to time, when it comes to my family, when it comes to my job, when it comes to money, when it comes to ministry, all these things that we're talking about, the central issue is how am I going to steward what God has given to me? How am I going to take what God has blessed me with? How am I going to take the finances that he blesses me with, the job that he blesses me with, my kids that he blesses me with, and how am I going to steward these things for his kingdom? And then when we talk about giving, the issue is not, am I going to give 10%, 20%? The issue is not how much am I going to give. The issue is how much am I going to keep? That becomes central to our lives. Listen, I'll start off in the beginning. This series of messages has not been put together to make you give more to the church. Okay? Amen? Is that okay? Right? I'm not trying to manipulate you in any way. I may try, but it probably won't work because only the Holy Spirit can do that. But this is my heart of hearts. I'm not here to try to get the last cent out of you. We're not, okay? In fact, you know, I could say that our church, praise God, God has blessed our church. All right, we have people that understand this aspect of generosity, and so I've never had to come and say, "Hey guys, we really need a lot of money right now." You know, I mean, praise the Lord. And so we're not in financial distress. We're not loaded either, okay? And so we're like in a good place where we just trust the Lord. The Lord provides for what we need to do as a church, and we do it. And so this is not, I don't want you to feel bad. I know whenever a pastor talks about giving and whatnot, you know, people always put their guards up. You can have your guard up. It's okay. That doesn't really bother me all that much. But just listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. Amen? Does that sound okay? All right? I mean, in the best of our abilities, try to do that. And so Rich's words really, you know, struck me, and that's when I decided I'm going to start tithing, and I'm going to start giving to the Lord, and I'm going to make it a practice of my life to cause it. And obviously, I learned this from my parents. You know, they're always giving, and in fact, even my dad, when he wasn't really even that strong of a Christian, was always being very generous to the church they were going to. And so I grew up with that, as a lot of probably Koreans that grew up in church with their families in that way. And then I started experiencing God in giving. And it was really a cool thing. I started working as an accountant in a bank. And, you know, I was doing great. I was doing well after graduating from school. And then God called me to youth ministry. And so then I was doing both at the same time. And then God asked me to quit my job that I was making money in. And stay in this youth pastor position part-time that I was hardly making any money in at all. And so I did, but in the midst of that, God always asked me to keep giving. And so I just kept giving. I kept tithing and doing offerings and whatnot. And then during this time, I felt like, you know, after about a year and a half of ministry, that I should actually go to seminary. And I said, God, you know, I think I should enroll. And God said, yeah, I think you should go. And so, you know, I applied. I made my application to Fuller, which is kind of close to my house. And so I applied to Fuller and everything, but there was a huge obstacle, which is money. Seminary is expensive, man. I mean, it's really expensive. It's kind of a travesty, too, because, you know, like law school is expensive, right? Medical school is expensive. Business school is expensive. But when you get out, you make a lot of money, right? Seminary is expensive, but you get out, you don't make more money. I mean, it becomes kind of stagnant. And so, you know, praise God. You know, we have a great church here. And so, you know, our pastors at our church that want to go to seminary, our church will pay 75% of their tuition to make sure they go. And we don't want education or anything to get in the way of any of these things. They need to give us 5 years of their life, right? And so I think that's kind of like a slavery. But in any case, it still works. What do they call it? Indentured servitude. But okay, forget about that. And so I started doing all these things. And what ended up happening is God kept challenging me to give. And I said, God, I need some money. And I was praying one morning, and God said, done deal. I got you covered. And next thing you know, I go to, I was actually in our youth group, and one of the elders walked up to me, gave me an envelope, you know, it's kind of like very gangster-like, gave me this envelope, put it in my hand, and he didn't hardly say anything, he just said, study well. And he just walked away. And I looked at the envelope, and it was exactly my first quarter tuition money. You know, that paid for my first quarter. My second quarter, it was, you know, after the winter break, I end up doing like three or four retreats. You know, and you get a love offering. And so using love offering, I paid for my second quarter of seminary. And then it kind of went from like that. God just kept providing and providing and providing. At this time, my parents needed some sound equipment. They were in Uzbekistan. And so, you know, I felt the real need, but I had no money to give to them and whatnot. And then sure enough, you know, something happens and all of a sudden I have this extra money and I end up, you know, sending it to Uzbekistan and you know, buying their stereo equipment that they need. And it seemed like whatever I had need for, even though I didn't have it in my budget, I prayed and God just, it just flowed out. It was just this amazing thing that began to happen. See, the reality, friends, and this is one thing that I think that many of us really suffer when we talk about generosity or giving, because you don't think God is a good God. When it really comes, or like this, you actually believe God is a good God, but not to you. You think God is good to other people. The reality, friends, is God wants to give you all things. God is the most incredible giver of all. Let me read some scriptures to you. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Look what he's saying. He said he didn't even spare his own son. Won't he now give you all things? James 1:17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. This is God's heart. He's the Father. Every good and perfect thing that comes down from heaven is given to you by God. Think for a moment here. Just close your eyes, 2 seconds. Think about something good that you have right now. Everyone got that in your mind? You can open your eyes. Friends, that was given to you by God. Isn't that amazing? That was given to you by the Lord. In such an amazing way. All these things. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Right? Everything. He's granted everything to us pertaining to life. Let me give you another freebie here, some wisdom. One of the aspects here, think about it, you can never outgive God. Turn to your other neighbor, say, hey, good looking, you can never outgive God. Let me share a story. Many years ago, now I was working at this university now, the same one that I got saved in, Vanguard. And we used to do this Wednesday night meeting called Prayer and Praise. And in this meeting, it was just a worship night. It was very open, you know, as the Lord leads, as the Spirit leads. And so this night, one of my friends came to speak. And he was speaking at chapel, so I asked him to come on Wednesday night Prayer and Praise. So he came that Wednesday night, and he shared on a spirit of generosity. I wish I would have remembered that message. It was really good, because I could have just preached it here, but I totally forgot the message. But I remember what he did afterwards. And then afterwards, he asked the students, these are all college students, he asked them, how many of you guys have been really blessed by the Lord financially? And he asked them to stand up. So a bunch of students stood up, and we're all clapping, oh, praise God, God is good. And then he said, now you guys remain standing. He says, now how many of you here, you are not doing so well financially? Like you would like to receive a blessing from the Lord financially. He goes, I want you to stand up. And so a bunch of students, a lot more students stood up than, you know, were blessed, trust me, in the Christian university. And so then he asked the question. He says, I want you who are blessed, I want you to go find someone who's not so blessed, and I want you to pray and ask God how much money you should give them. Or how much you should give. And so, you know, I stood up. I was blessed, you know. And so I went over to this young woman. And I knew her really well. She was one of my leaders. And I went over and I laid hands on her, on her back. And because I did what my friend said, pray for her. How much money should I give her? And I closed my eyes and I prayed for her. I said, okay, Jesus, you know, tell me, 10 bucks, 5 bucks, okay, you know. Sure, 20, I'll do 20, right? And then I got this dollar figure. And honest to goodness, my first instinct was, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's that can't be the Lord. The Lord wouldn't want me to suffer like that. And so I said, okay, honestly, this is what, the honest truth. I said, okay, God, come on, okay, get real. Lord, how much should I give to her? And the same amount, I didn't even have that in my bank account. And I opened my eyes and I'm like wrestling with God. Like, are you serious? I can't do this. And the Lord spoke very clearly. He said, I want you to show my daughter my extravagant love. Right? I'm like, oh, okay. How can you argue with that, right? And so I turned to her and I said, hey, so-and-so, I feel like God's really speaking to me. And so I feel like I should give you this amount of money. And I told her, and she just started bawling. Ooh, she lost it. And I said, but I don't have the money right now. So if you come tomorrow to my office, I'm going to write a post-dated check to you. I was so embarrassed. I didn't have the money. You know, and I'd have to wait a little bit to accumulate the money. But trust me, the check will be good. And then she went off and I prayed for her. The night was amazing. I mean, I heard stories all that week of students that were, I mean, down to their last buck. You know, and people that had specific bills, you know, like bills, they had like a bill of like $432, and they got $432. I mean, it was just amazing. And something began to shift in our campus that way. What ended up happening is the next day, this girl tells her mom that the campus pastor gave her this money, and the mom, and I thought, you know, so I'm getting this phone call from the mom, and I thought the mom was going to be, oh, thank you, Pastor Sam. You're such an amazing leader. You know, God bless you. We need more, you know. She yelled at me for 20 minutes. And because what happened is her daughter actually got into credit card debt. And so she got, you know, where they give college students credit cards. She got the credit card, maxed out the card, got another credit card, maxed out that card. And my offering paid for all that stuff. And the mom was irate with me saying, this is not good responsibility, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was just on the phone saying, sorry, you know, I just obeyed God. It was simple. And so, you know, I think maybe you got some issues with your daughter, and I just hung up, and that was about it and stuff. So I said the issues part. I said it really nicely. But it was that reality. You know what happened after that? Because remember, you can never outgive God. Emptied my bank account, all this stuff, and just trusting the Lord. I mean, something's happened during this time. And I wanted to buy a house. The market was really low. It was prime time. I met someone. I had no money now for down nothing. I kid you not, over the course of the next 2 months, money was coming in the mail. It was the craziest thing. I get like a $1,000 check from somebody, You know, I go to church and someone would give me money. I go to this place. And next thing you know, I had enough money for a down payment for a house. I lived 1.7 miles away from the beach in Newport Beach. You know, 3-bedroom, you know, 2-car garage. I mean, everything exactly what I needed. I mean, just amazing. And I know that that all was really sprung from giving, from generosity. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not saying that you give so you can get something from God. That's the wrong motive, okay? We're going to talk about a few verses later on. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is a spirit of generosity. That when we begin to mirror God, and that's really what generosity does. When we begin to mirror God because God is the one who's so generous, and we begin to mirror Him and act like Him and begin to do what Jesus does because He is so generous, and when we begin to operate out of this generosity, generosity just comes to us. It's not like I give so I can get something in return. You know, that's not the way it should be. And even our prayers should not be like that. You shouldn't pray, Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast so I can get something from you. That's the wrong motive. But because God is so generous, and when we move out of God's heart and His character, and we move in generosity, guess what? God moves on our behalf. And so I love what John Wimber used to say, Wimber at the Vineyard. He used to say, we give to get to give. Don't you love that? Right? And so the heart is being generous. We give and we give and we're going to get, but we get to give. And so we give to get to give. We give to get to give. And the idea is that we don't become a cesspool of things coming in, but we're always generous. We're always going out. Listen, young single ladies that are in this place, if there's any characteristic of a man's heart that you need to, of course, being a lover of God, of course, that's a non-negotiable. But find a man who's generous. Generosity speaks of so much more than just freely giving. It just speaks so much of someone's character in that way. I've talked to people. I don't want to mention anyone's name because I don't want to embarrass them. But there was a couple in our church. And we were talking about generosity. And she was telling me, while looking at her husband, and it was, so much love, and really, it was so much pride in her face. And she says, yes, my husband is a generous man. And you could have seen the glint. Is it a glint? Like a gleam, thank you. This gleam in her eye as she was talking about her husband. And she was saying, oh, I'm so proud. My husband is so generous. There's something about that. You know what I mean? In that same way, have you ever gone to a restaurant? This happens a lot with youth group kids. You go to a restaurant and you order dinner and you get the bill. Do you know that feeling when the bill's short? You know what I mean? Like the bill's $100 and $80 comes back. You know how that feels like? It's like, ugh, there's some cheapskate in this room, man. You know what I mean? It builds this atmosphere of like, it's kind of gross feeling. You know, there's something wrong here. But then, I mean, you get a group of people and, you know, you share one bill and then there's more than enough. There's like happiness. You know what I mean? There's something about this joy of giving or this joy of being generous in this way. And that's how it operates. Remember, you can never outgive God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, first of all, He even gives His own Son to us. All right, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the free gift, the generous gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Even that word grace, when we talk about grace, the Greek word is the word chariz. Chariz, the definition is gift. So even grace is a gift. All right, He is Lord of all these things. I'm going to skip, okay? I'm sure you guys don't mind. I'm going to skip down. You guys, I'm so generous today. I just took out 2 pages of notes. You guys are so blessed. Okay, I'll have I'll have Nate touch up next week on this. Let me just share with you four principles of giving, okay? Let me say this first of all. Remember, our attitudes about money are extremely spiritual, all right? You know, there are more than 500 verses in the Bible talking about prayer. There are nearly 500 verses in the Bible talking about faith, but there are over 2,000 verses on the subject of money and possessions. It's pretty amazing. Even Jesus, out of his 38 parables, 16 of them dealt with money and possessions. In other words, dealt with stewardship. Clearly, from the Bible's point of view, we need to understand money, finances, possessions, stewardship, and how to handle it. I'll say this really clearly. How you handle money reveals volumes about your priorities, your loyalties, and your affections. How you handle your finances, your checkbook, your wallet, reveals volumes about your priorities, your loyalties, and your affections. Right? Jesus said, "There, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's something quite profound about that. So 4 points. I'm going to go real quick. Number one, give joyfully, reap abundantly. Give joyfully, reap abundantly. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let each one do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's why you can't get your arm twisted to give. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work in God's kingdom. Let each one of us do as we have purpose in our heart to do, not grudgingly, not like, oh, I don't want to do this thing, but let's give with a cheerful heart. Let's give joyfully that we may reap abundantly. You know, we try to do this at SP. We're okay about it. But, you know, the first time I went to, you guys know Juanita. Juanita is going to be back. She's our church's intercessor. She's been my intercessor for 20-odd years. And so when I first went to Juanita's church and they took up the offering time, you know, the long worship, and then the pastor came up and said, it's time for offering. And her church, most of her church were really old people. And man, they got up, they were jumping up and down, clapping, hollering, cheering. And I was sitting there going like, what is going on? Because at my church, when they say it's time to take the offering, everyone's head goes down. It's kind of like they want to avoid eye contact, you know? I'm not talking about SP. This is talking about my church back at home in California. And it was so different. But I recognize these guys, they recognize this divine opportunity to be like God in a certain way, to act in the character of God. They understood they were living in this divine opportunity, and they gave cheerfully. Listen, if you're in this place, okay, and you can't give cheerfully, don't give, right? Don't give, okay? I mean, it's just clearly stated in this way. In other words, if your heart is not in the right place, get your heart in the right place. Amen? Do you know what I mean? The very benefit of our spiritual disciplines can lose its effect purely by the way we do things. We're going to take communion in a little bit. The Bible tells us to watch our hearts. Make sure that our heart's in the right place. You know, the very fact that you do it in a wrong way takes away any spiritual benefit that you can do. Isn't that amazing? Now, in that same regard, doing it in the right way, I mean, just incredibly pleases God. It really pleases the Lord. And so make sure you give joyfully, reap abundantly. Number two, give at all times. Give at all times. When we read about Genesis 26, we read about Isaac. Isaac sowed in a time of famine. Right? He did not look upon his circumstances, but he looked to God. It says in Genesis 26:12, this is a conclusion. It says, now Isaac sowed in that land, reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. See, Isaac became wealthy and prospered as the people around him did not. You know why? Because he sowed when it was inconvenient for him to sow. In other words, Isaac gave when it was very inconvenient for Isaac to give. You know, Abimelech actually tells him later on to leave because he had become so powerful. I mean, this is a great case study. Isaac is in Genesis. Isaac's in this place. It's very inconvenient for Isaac to give, but Isaac sowed in the time of famine when he didn't have much. God blessed him. He blessed him so much, but he didn't bless anybody else. All right, because they didn't sow in the time of famine. God blessed him so much because he sowed when it was very inconvenient. The blessing was there. So give at all times. At all times. Right? Not just when it's convenient for you. Not just when you have it. Give at all times. I mean, if you know, we could read the story about the widow's mite and, you know, and all kinds of different things that happened during that time. Number three. There's a reason why I'm going to go really fast. Okay, I'll get to the end. Number three. Give away what you lack. Give away what you lack. This is 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. The poor widow gave away her last meal. The world around you will tell you, no, man, you need to keep it. You need to hoard it. You need to hold on to it as much as you can. You know, you need to eat it and then die. But she gave. She gave away even what she lacked. Right? Elijah convinced her that if she planted, that she would reap a bountiful harvest. And that's exactly what happened. I know this is so counterculture to what we have in the world around us. Right? If we don't have anything, you hold on to everything you have. Listen, you don't have anything. You know, the best thing you can do is give it away. Give it away. Give it to God's kingdom and watch what God does with it. Right? God does not want us to leave us destitute or whatnot, but some of these moments that we come into our life when we're in this place of need and we come into this place, it could be the very divine opportunity by which God wants to release the floodgates of heaven to us. So three, give away what you lack. Number four, giving will release natural benefits. Giving will release natural benefits. Here's some of these benefits. When you give, it releases anger set against you. Proverbs 21:14, a gift in secret subdues anger. Is anyone angry with you these days? Why not give them a gift? It'd be interesting, huh? Test the Bible out. I mean, we do this already, right? How many husbands have given your wives flowers when you've blown it, right? We know that a gift subdues anger. We inherently understand that, but even more so on a spiritual sense. You know, giving releases friends. Any of you guys lonely? Proverbs 19:6. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Now, don't read it. It doesn't mean that people take advantage. People will take advantage, but the idea is people want to be around people that are generous, that there is an atmosphere, there's a blessing and a favor there. Giving releases a place in life before great men. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. All right, there's something about giving that happens in our life. According to Luke 21, Jesus sees our gifts and especially the way that we give. And in that way, we can make him happy or we can make him sad. All right? My whole point here is let's place ourselves in a position where we can trust, where God can trust us with all things. Amen? Sorry, I went really fast because I want to pray. Right? I'm gonna let worship team come up. Let's close our eyes. Because I know I have communion and everything. I just want to spend a moment in prayer. This is what I want you to do. The spirit of generosity. There's an atmosphere released when we take on the character of God. One of God's greatest characteristics, or his heart, is generosity. Everything that we have is given from him. And when we give, it is the testimony, or really the evidence of our faith and trust in him. We want to learn to be a blessing to each other today. So let's do this real quick. If you were in this place, now you know where we're going here. If you're in this place and God's been blessing you materially through your work, through your finances, Now, whatever it may be, God is blessing you materially. I want to invite you to stand right now. Okay, this is serious, okay? So, you say, God has been blessing me and my family materially. I have more than enough. I am blessed of the Lord. Okay? So I want you to stand. I want you to keep your eye closed. So we'll wait for anyone else. You can stand in this place. Now, some of you are in this room, and this is no blame, nothing, okay? You're in a situation right now where it's a little difficult financially. For whatever reason, right? There's no blame game here. Trust me, none at all. But we go through these cycles in our life. There's times where we may run into some difficulty financially. If you're in that place today, I want to ask you to raise your hand. Don't stand up. I want you to raise your hand. And just leave your hand in the air. Okay? Anyone else? Now, what I want you to do, you guys that are standing right now, I want you to go and find somebody, and I want you to ask the Lord to lead you, okay? I want you to go find someone who's got a hand raised. And I want you to go to that person. I don't want you to say a word. I want you to lay hands on that person. I want you to pray and ask God, God, how much do you want me to give? Simple. And then just obey. Can we do that? So go ahead. It doesn't matter if someone's got like three or four people around them. That's fine. And so if you're standing, as the Lord leads you, find someone whose arm is raised. Go ahead. We can move around. That's why all the standing people, you guys are here. Just find somebody and just simply go lay your hands on them and say, Lord Jesus, I know you're a generous God. Thank you for the blessings of my life. How would you like me to bless so-and-so? And as the Lord speaks to you, you just obey. It's really that simple, okay? And no one's come to you, you keep that hand up. But if someone's come to you, just put your hand down. Actually, I felt like there's some more people that need to have their hand raised up. Okay, and so I guess the easy way of saying it is just humble yourself before the Lord. Just humble yourself before God. We all need help along the way. This is the body. This is the way the church works. Right? We come in and stand in the gap for each other. You don't have to feel embarrassed or whatnot. And so if you're in a place and you know, you could use some blessing in your life right now, just lift your hand in the air. We'll have some people come to you. And this is just the way church is supposed to work. Amen. Let me cover this time. Father, God, we thank you for that spirit of generosity. Lord, we know that the atmosphere is going to shift in our church, God, in our lives. The way we look at work, the way we look at finances, the way we look at possessions and materials are going to change, God, because you call us to be generous. Lord, giving is not about you. It's about us in a way. It's to you, but giving affects us. And so teach us to be generous, God. Holy Spirit, we pray, God, for our friends in need. We pray that you would lift them up. We pray that these gifts, God, would release something in the atmosphere around them, God. Lord, if some of them are under a spirit of poverty, we break that spirit right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After the service, I want you to go up to that person and face-to-face and share, this is the amount I got for you, and then you take care of business from there. Everyone, let's back to their seats. Let's have our time of communion. Let's ask the ushers to come. Let me read from the scriptures. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. As for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. As our ushers come and pass out the elements, I want you to hold on to them. And I want you to reflect. Just reflect on your heart. Reflect on the goodness of God. Reflect on the cross and all that he's made available to us. All the possessions, the material wealth, all that we have given to us because of the cross. And it's our time to come before the Lord and check our hearts before him. And then we receive together.
Died and rose again.
who's not yet received the elements yet? When we close our eyes as we hold these in our hands. Not even spare your own son, Lord. God, but you freely give us all things. Lord, we thank you for the cross, God. We thank you for the sacrifice. Lord, everything we have, Lord, our families, our jobs, our health, is all made available because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come humbly as a community, God, to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we remember the cross, God. Remember, God, that the cross, Lord, is generosity given to us. So in that same way, God, teach us to be generous to others as well. We thank you, Lord. Let's take together this Christ's body broken for you, the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let me give the benediction. Father, we thank you. God, we love you in this place. Lord, truly teach us, God, to mirror your character, especially when it deals with our possessions, our finances. Lord, I pray for every person at Solomon's Porch, God, that you cause us to be great stewards of what you've given to us, God. Lord, not only so you can entrust us with more, God, that's the least of our concerns, but just purely because we want to be great stewards of what you give to us. So be with us, God, in that regard. Thank you. Watch over us this week, God. Help us to steward all that you give us, our time, our family, our possessions, God, to glorify your kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you prayed for someone earlier, go find that person and say, hey, this is what the Lord's telling me to give to you. And then make arrangements and just watch what God does throughout their lives. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. God bless you guys.